Living word of God, I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Let's pray. Father, we believe that your word can change our life. Lord, we also want to grow in our relationship with you. So we ask today, Lord, that you take the knowledge that we gain about you and you help us to grow in the relationship with you. And Lord, I also ask that you help me to deliver this message that you put in my heart in a way that will be life-changing. Thank you for the Spirit of God speaking to each one of us today. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we are going to be wrapping up our series, Knowing God. In fact, let me just say this just so you don't, I meant to mention this earlier and I didn't. We move communion. We normally have communion on the first Sunday. We move communion to next week. I just didn't feel like doing communion in a football jersey. So anyway, we're going to do it for some other reasons too, but we'll do communion next week. But let's get into this series today. And we're going to be wrapping it up. This is our fifth week in this series, and it's simply entitled Knowing God. And in this series, it's been my prayer that the knowledge that we learn or that we gain about God in this series, that then each one of us would ask the Holy Spirit to help us to take what we've learned and then apply it in our relationship with God so that we grow in that relationship. And I pray that that's what happens today, that once again you would grow based on the knowledge that you receive, and not only in this next week, but in the weeks and months to come, that the Holy Spirit would continue to bring back to your heart what you've learned about God, and then you apply it in your relationship with God. Now, as we wrap up this series today, I'm going to minister to you a message simply entitled, God Knows Me. God Knows Me. And so let's get into this message today, and let's go back and read the text that's found in 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Now, we've been using this as our text because I believe this passage gives us an expectation that leads to a motivation that becomes our determination when it comes to growing in our relationship with God. Here's the expectation. You can expect that if you will be intentional in growing in your relationship with God, you can expect He will release more grace and more peace in your life. I vote for that. How about you? More grace, more peace. Well, now that expectation should become our motivation. We ought to use that to motivate ourselves to be intentional and to spend time with God, to grow in our knowledge with Him, to talk to Him. And then it also provides for us a determination. That means throughout our journey with God, we can determine whether or not we're growing in our relationship with Him. If we have sufficient grace and peace, then we're growing. If we don't, maybe we need to grow in our relationship, because growing in relationship releases grace and peace. Now, let's get into this message today, though. God knows me. And I want to talk about an attribute of God, and I want to do a little Bible study. Anybody ready for a Bible study this morning? I want to do a little Bible study into an attribute of God, bringing out several passages that teach us about this attribute. And here's the attribute: omniscience. God is omniscient. And so let me take you to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. 1 John 3:20, the apostle John wrote this: even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and He knows everything. You see, when we talk about God being omniscient, really what we're saying is just what John says: God knows everything. I like the way the Blue Letter Bible, it's a wonderful app you can get if you don't have it for studying the Bible. And in studying this word omniscient, the Blue Letter Bible says this. He said the word omniscient comes from two Latin words, omnis, signifying all, and sentia, signifying knowledge. All knowledge. In fact, in the comments, the Blue Letter Bible goes on to say, when we say that God is omniscient, it means that he has perfect knowledge of all things. You see, here's what it also means. God doesn't have to learn anything. God's never forgotten anything. He doesn't need to be taught by you. He doesn't need advice from anyone. He doesn't gradually come to understand anything. God knows everything. God is omniscient. Now, let's look at that omniscience in a couple of other scriptures and see just how it's defined in the Word. Psalm 147 verse 4 tells us that he understands all. That's what it means when we say he's omniscient. Psalm 147 verse 4 says, he sets his stars in place, calling them all by their names. How great is our God. There's absolutely nothing his power cannot accomplish. And he has infinite understanding of everything. Wow. You know, sometimes it says, sometimes men, you know, Valentine's Day coming up. In fact, me starting a new series next week, Boundaries, anyone? We're going to talk about boundaries in marriage. So I figure I better do that just for Valentine's Day to prep you guys. But, you know, there was, you might have heard this joke before talking about understanding. There was a man that, you know, he got the proverbial, found the proverbial genie bottle and he rubbed it and out comes this genie. And the genie says, well, really, I'm just a one wish genie. So you can only one wish, that's all you get. And so he said, well, you know, this guy said, you know, I tell you what I'd like. He said, I don't like to fly, so I just have one wish, and that is that you would build a bridge all the way from San Francisco to Hawaii. Then I could drive over there. The genie said, build a bridge from San Francisco to Hawaii. Do you know how deep the ocean is? Do you have any idea what you're asking? Could you think of something else? And he said, well, yeah, there is one more thing. He said, I'd like to understand my wife. And the genie said, how many lanes you want on that bridge? But God understands it all. That's what it means when we say our God is omniscient. He understands why you're doing what you're doing, even when you don't understand why. Now, when we talk about him being omniscient, it means his knowledge is perfect. Listen to Romans 11:33. This is the Passion Translation. It says, who could ever wrap their minds around the riches of God, the depth of his wisdom, and marvel of his perfect knowledge? Who could ever explain the wonder of his decisions or search out the mysterious ways he carries out his plan? His knowledge is perfect. In fact, we could say this about God. He is the original and the one and only know-it-all. See, and I think that's why sometimes it gets so aggravating when someone acts like they know it all. Because when they act like they know it all, really what they're doing is putting themselves on the same level as God. Listen, God's the only one. He knows it all. His knowledge is complete. You see, he makes then perfect decisions because his knowledge is perfect. God has never made a wrong decision. Because he knows everything. You see, you and I, there's some decisions that we made that later on, a month later or a year later, we looked back and we said, had I known, fill in the blank, I would have made a different decision if I would have known that. God has never said that. Just thought I'd throw this in, and he decided to save you. And he's never made a wrong decision. God decided to save you. Yes, I'll do. He never makes a wrong decision. Listen, when it comes to God being omniscient, nothing is hidden from him. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. You know, God has never said, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't see that. How foolish for you and I to think that we are ever hiding something from God. And if we really believed that our God was all-knowing and omniscient, you think we would live differently? We would live better, have a better life, because we might do some things differently. Now, also, when it comes to God's omniscient and being omniscience and being all-knowing, it means he knows the past and the future. Isaiah 46:9, it says, remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God, and there is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. And really, this is the God test. God really told Israel, okay, you want to see if that idol is a god, then can they tell the future? Has everything they said in the past come to pass? God said, I know the beginning, I know the end, I know the past, I know the future, I know it all. I'm God. In fact, this truth is also seen in Revelation, and God said this about himself and about Jesus. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. Listen, his knowledge is complete because God was at the beginning and he's already been to the end. Wow. Now, that God that is all-knowing, that same God knows me. That same God knows you. And doesn't it just make sense that if he's all-knowing, he knows you, he knows me? But just how well does he know me? What does he know about you? Let's read Psalm 139, verse 1. It says this, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. Yeah. I think it'd be fair to say this. God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we're going to say even before we say it. He knows everything. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. Let's read on and we'll see just how well he knows us. Verse 16, still of Psalm 139, it says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. God says he knew you. He knew me even before we were born. That right there ought to be the final case about whether or not it's a baby in your womb, a child. God knew you. He knew you before you were born. In fact, he knew the date of your birth. And then it says God has recorded every day of your life in his book. And in other words, God has an original iCloud baby book on you. You know, God came up, you know, now we say the iCloud and, you know, all your information is stored in this cloud. Come on. God has been having iCloud for a long time. And he's got this baby book about you. And sometimes Jesus and the Father, I can see them just go, look at there. They're growing. Look, they finally understand. They're stepping out in faith. They've taken two steps of faith. Yay. That's what it says. What kind of book do you think he would keep about you? He's been thinking about you. I tell you, there's nothing like knowing that someone's been thoughtful of you and they thought about you. They thought about how that would affect you. They considered you. God's been thinking about you. He knows everything, and yet he knows you, and he knows everything about you. I just be honest, there's some people, I don't want to know everything about them. That's okay, I know enough. But now listen, when I really love somebody, I want to know everything about them. Because I love them. What does it say about God knowing you, keeping a baby book on you? You might have felt deprived all your life because your mama didn't do a baby book on you. Now you know. God's got your baby book. Now, God's all-knowing. He knows everything we do. He knows everything about everything. Do you know knowledge is power? Think about it. People have blackmailed people. People have gotten to the top. I'll tell if you don't promote me. I won't promote you if you do tell. Knowledge. Also, knowledge has done a lot of good in the world. Some people have used their knowledge for good. But listen, what you do, knowledge is power. It's control. And what you do with the knowledge you have and the amount of power it gives you speaks to your character. Now, let's consider this. God knows everything. He knows everything about everyone. And he knows everything about everything. That's why he's all powerful. But what does God do with what he knows? I want to teach you something God did, knowing everything. But God still did this. He still made this decision, knowing everything. And you need, now listen, you need to know this about God and apply it in your relationship with God. He's all-knowing. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. He knows everything about everything. And what did he do with the knowledge that he had? God made a decision. Isn't that what you usually do based on the knowledge that you have? You make a decision, you make a choice. I want to take you to the book of Ephesians, and I want to show you a marvelous truth about you and about God's decision about you. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. The all-knowing God decided before he ever created the world. Now, he already knows everything. He's already been to the end before he created the first tree, before he said, let there be light. He already knew everything. I think he looked at Jesus and he said, I know it, but I still love him. Before I create anything, I'm going to choose. I'm going to decide right now that I value them. I decide, knowing everything, I love them. And I love them enough to sacrifice my son for them. I love them enough that I'm going to do whatever it takes to cleanse them from their sin so that they can come into my family. I want to adopt them. And I'll do whatever it takes to make us a good family. That means they need to be set free from the power of sin. Really, we could say this. God decided to love us. He decided to forgive us. He decided to give his son for us. He decided to do whatever it would take to adopt us. And can I tell you, based on all of this, then no discovery about you will disillusion God. He is all-knowing. There's nothing that God's going to find out about you that's going to go, oh, I didn't know that. If I would have known that, I would have never called them. I would have never loved them. What did we learn about God? He's all-knowing. And being all-knowing, he made this decision the other morning, before even prepping for this message. I was doing my morning devotions with God, and I went to this scripture in Ephesians, one of my favorites, and God just spoke that truth to me. And he said, Jane, you were valuable to me back then, and you are valuable to me today. Nothing you could ever do will change how I see you. You are mine. I love you. Do you hear God saying that to you? He knew everything. He knew you before you were born. He knew the day you would be born. He knew every one of your days. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. And he still said, they are valuable to me. I want them in my family. Listen, he knew not everybody would receive him. He knew not everybody would receive his son. But he has never, and he never will, rescind the invitation to salvation because he made a decision. Listen, can I tell you today, you will never do anything that will change God's mind about you. He's eternal. He does not change. I love the way this truth is brought out in Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 and 7. It says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might be perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good, but God. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Let's think about what God knew. God knew some would never receive the sacrifice that he was making. In fact, God knew that some would literally reject him. God knew every sin you and I would commit even after we knew him. And he still decided to send his son to die for us. And Jesus, all-knowing, still decided, I'll go. I'll go. Now here's my question. Is that the God you know? The all-knowing God? Have you thought about this? Maybe you need to grow in this knowledge of God being omniscient, and then take this knowledge that you've learned about the omniscience of God and apply it in your relationship with God. The other day, I got up and headed to my prayer time, you know, just starting talking to the Lord, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, Jane, you're one of my favorites. And then, you know, inside, at first I thought, well, that can't be God. That's just me because he don't play favorites. He goes, no, you're one of my favorites. Yeah, yeah. They're all my favorites. Because we all have the favor of God. He's never changed his mind about us. Now, I want to close this out today by taking you to an Old Testament story. And I'm going to show you in the life of a woman named Hagar. We talk a lot about Sarah, you know, Abraham and Sarah. But I want to talk for a minute about Hagar. Because I believe that Hagar came to the place in this story where all of a sudden, God knows me. Something happens when you realize that not only is God all-knowing, God knows you. And if he knows you, and then he still wrote this book, and he wrote the Bible knowing all that he knows about you. And Hagar came to the place in her life where she saw the God that saw her. And so let's get into this story today. I'm going to start reading. I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 16, verse 8. But just before I read this passage, let me make sure that you know what has happened. You know, you know the story of Abraham. Most of you do, of Abraham and Sarah, and how God spoke to Abraham and promised him a son. Well, After God made that promise to Abraham and Sarah, you know, they got impatient. And in fact, Sarah herself came to Abram, her husband, and said, listen, maybe the way God's going to give us a son is through my handmaiden, Hagar. So she said, why don't you take Hagar, sleep with her, and then I'll have a son. Crazy idea. But Abram does it. He does. He's a good husband. He does what his wife tells him to. He's Abram at this time. And so, even though he probably knew this is not going to turn out well. So Hagar gets pregnant. And while Hagar is pregnant, the Bible says she started acting with contempt toward her master or toward Sarah. And being disrespectful, because now I'm carrying Abram's child. And so then, like a woman, I hate to admit it, but like a woman, Sarah goes to Abram and she said, it's all your fault. And Abram said, well, look, she's your handmaiden. You do whatever you want to with her. So Sarah began to treat Hagar very harshly. In fact, the Bible says she treated her so harshly that Hagar ran. I mean, they're out in the desert. They're nomads. And here she runs off, a pregnant woman. It must have been pretty bad. But here's what happens. Genesis 16, verse 8. It says, the angel said to her, Hagar, Sarah's servant, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress Sarah, she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her authority. Then he added, I will give you more descendants than you can count. And the angel also said, you are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. For the Lord has heard your cry of distress. Now, first of all, let's just acknowledge this. Because God is omniscient, he's never looking for an answer when he asks you a question. He's not asking you that question because he doesn't know, but he just wants you to know that he wants to know. And so he asked Hagar, where are you going and why are you here? She said, I'm running away from Sarah. Now, God knew she had misbehaved. He knew Hagar had behaved badly and been disrespectful towards Sarah. But how would you like to live with the promised lady who gets all the blessings of God? You know that woman. You know that man. They just get everything from God, and God promises them everything. And so Hagar might not have thought God even knew who she was. It was all about Abram and Sarah. Sometimes you think, well, God knows who Billy Graham is. Certainly Billy Graham, well, he's gone now, so he talked directly to God. But let's take Franklin Graham then. You know, if they talk, some, you know, person we admire spiritually, they talk to God, God hears. God hears everybody. But you see, here's what we all want to know. We all want to know that the all-knowing God knows and hears us. And God said to Hagar that day, I've heard you. I see you. In fact, Hagar went on to say this. Genesis 16, 13. She wanted to say, therefore, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. Wow. You're the God who sees me. She also said, have I truly seen the one who sees me? So that well was named something, which means it was named after beer, it looks like to me. But anyway, which means well of the living one who sees me. It can still be found between Kadesh and Bereth. The God who sees me. Have I seen the Lord who sees me? That word seen there means to perceive, to see intellectually, to gain understanding, to be made to see, to learn, to show oneself. In other words, Hagar was saying, I've grown in my knowledge of God. Now I know that God sees me. And even after I behaved badly toward the promised gal, he came for me. Now, he's sending her back to do what's right. Go submit to Sarah. But you see, I think she could go back because she knew God was watching. Yeah. And she knew God didn't just care for her or care about Sarah. He cared for her. And he cared for the child she was carrying. the God who sees me. And here's my question today. Do you believe God sees you? Do you believe the God who knows all, knows you, cares for you? We know he's come after you. In fact, I could say this, any identity issues we have stem from a misunderstanding that we have of God. You see, maybe Hagar was acting badly because she didn't think God cared. And the only way she could feel valuable is to walk around saying, I'm carrying the child now. But she didn't need to do that anymore because now she saw her value. She saw her value because she saw the God that saw her. She knew God saw her, that God called her valuable. You need to know today that God values you, that God sees you wherever you go. You'll never get away from him. He's all-knowing. As we close out this message today, well, let me just say this. God has literally seen it all, knows it all, and he still loves us all. Revelation comes, and our relationship with God grows when we see the God that sees us. Now, we've learned a lot of things about God. Today, we've learned about the God who knows it all. But here's my question as we wrap up this series, as we wrap up this message today, what will you do with what you know? You see, the knowledge you've gained in this series about God is powerful. Now, will you choose to take the knowledge that you've learned about God, apply it in your relationship with God, and grow? Amen. Did you get something out of this series? I pray that you did. Let's bow our heads as we close out this message today or this service today. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity.